Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 135, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
A production of iHeartRadio? This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers.
Oh, fuck them.
And fuck yes. Fox News.
Fuck them.
It's Monday, May 25th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. It hadn't been for Miles and Jacko, I'd have been quarantined a long time ago. Where is the cold brew? Where's the taco? Where is the Mountain Dew? Miles and Jacko. That is courtesy of Douglas the Freshest. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
You got what I need. Hydroxychloroquine. Hydroxychloroquine. Oh, baby, you're not the vaccine, 'cause you're hydroxychloroquine. That's some bullshit I'll just spin. Okay, thank you to Crispy Meme Donut and Angelo at Andrew Thunder for just giving me two just great things to work with there. And shout out to Bismarcky. You know, thinking about you.
Shouts out to Bismarcky. We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat. She just rode into frame on a Zamboni. It is Lil Zam herself, Jamie Loftus!
This is the story of a girl who ice and shivered and zammed the whole world. And now it's looking bad on Hydrograph. She massacres the summer, then she smiles. There's mercifully it ends there. Oh, Sunny started barking. Okay, it wasn't that good. Okay, that's from at Just TDZ, AKA's. I'm sorry, Sunny just found out about the Joe Biden gaffe.
He's
hard to say. We've stopped talking politics with the dog.
Yeah, that's probably smart.
Too much drama.
Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our fourth seat by the hilarious and talented Cody Ziegler.
I don't have a rap, but I got to say, if
you
I
got
did,
sound effects.
It would not be nearly as good as any of the raps that you guys had.
Oh, no. So don't say that now.
It means you guys so got much. Bars.
You guys were smoking it. My headphones
we also
on fire.
Got Ghost Riders, okay?
Let me get Jay-Z in here.
Yeah, yeah. Cody, how you doing, man? How is Core treating you?
You know, I got to say, like, I doing bizarrely well. Like, I stopped counting the days when day, like, 65 hit. But for, like, the first 40 days, like, my existence wasn't too much different than it normally is as far as, like, just staying in my apartment and not going anywhere. So, like, that's been pretty normal. The only thing that I'm missing is, guys, I miss just grabbing, like, expensive lunches with friends. Like, that's the one thing. Like, just getting some sushi, getting some, like, pizza, like, all that's the only thing that I've really been missing. Mm-hmm. Like, I've gotten to this thing lately where I've just been taking drives, like, once a week. Like, I'll go, like, I'll drive to, like, Long Beach, I'll do the PCH, I'll, like, drive deep into the valley and come back. Like, that's been, like, the thing that's been keeping me mentally the most cleared and anchored over the past, like, I guess 3 months at this point, 2.5 months.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that used to be a thing that people did, I think, and, like, at least based on my deep historical knowledge from Mad Men and, like, one other movie, I think people used to, like, go on the Sunday drive together where driving was the destination. Like, people would just drive for pleasure. Yeah. And I find myself, like, coming up with an excuse to just, like, go for a spin around the neighborhood.
Well, that used to be, like, the whole thing when, like, in high school, like, when we were driving and shit, albums would come out on Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
And you pick up a new CD, and then you'd go fucking mob around in Jono's Infinity. You know what I mean? Shout out to that path of that QX4 with on 20s, and those guys tried to rob us that one time. But that was, like, the activity was merely just, like, music and driving. I'm doing that again a little bit too, where like you're saying, Cody, I'll take the longest way to go get something.
Yeah. They dropped the Chronic on Spotify like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I put that on and drove to Long Beach, and man, let me tell you, it was a mood.
Wow.
It was a good mood, boys.
There you go. Yeah.
The nice thing for me has been that I have never had a driver's license, so there's nothing to miss, really.
Right.
By design.
Yeah. I only go as far as the Walgreens, and then there's an invisible force field, because that's when I get tired.
You're stuck in your own little video
Ed
game.
TV over here.
Cody, you've also been blessing the world, and super producer Daniel, who's not here today, but a big Doughboys fan, and he came letting us know about the Baja Blast homemade.
I want to set the record straight. I gave the wrong mix level in the Doughboys. I said 1-to-1. It should be 80-20, 80% Mountain Dew, 20% blue Powerade, not Gatorade, okay. Blue Powerade.
Oh, keep it in the Pepsi family.
Yeah, Pepsi family. I want about that branding, North Carolina. Shout out Kings, we stand. I will say that even with that 20 to 80% ratio, there is so much high fructose corn syrup that you're putting into your body that, like, you instantly get sleepy and shut down. So, like, I got to say, don't do it when you have things to do during the day. If you're, like, you know, maybe you're actually care about the things that you put in your body and not like me who just ingest all types of organ meats and poison. I will say I would not recommend doing it more than once a day or maybe even more than once a week. It's a lot of glucose you're putting into your body. But if you're looking for a hack and you're like, you're not near a Taco Bell, get that 80-20% going and it'll set your life straight.
All right. Yeah.
Have you tried the Baja Blast Mountain Dew Zero that they've been releasing in cans?
I didn't even know that. This is breaking news. Wait, what is this?
Hit the shelves.
Jack,
of,
don't tell
Ralph.
Him about it. Save this. Don't save yourself, God. Cody.
Well, so listen, I've got some breaking news of my own. I got a bad batch. I got a bunch flat Mountain Dew Zero Baja Blasts.
Whoa.
Which I was very unhappy about.
Wait, what do you mean you got a bad batch? Like, what the flavor was
it wasn't cut
off?
Properly.
Oh, it was flat.
It was flat.
Oh, no.
Yeah,
wow. You should go back to the grocery store. Now more than ever, you should go to the grocery store.
Now more than ever, give them a piece of my mind.
And like, let me film you going
flat.
Off. Yeah, and you open each can, go, you hear that? Nothing. You hear that? Nothing. You hear that? Nothing.
I came here for carbonation.
Fortunately, I have more than enough of good batches because I bought out the whole shelf. So,
oh shit,
flex.
They're like, sir, well, right. You seem to be the only person with that problem. Everyone else been happy. And like Cody says, I came here for carbonation, not yeah. obfuscation.
Yeah, can't pull wool over my eyes, guys.
All right, Cody, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners what they have to look forward to today. We're going to talk about Joe Biden's interview with Charlemagne, and then we're just going to talk about the pop culture we ingested over the weekend. We're going to talk about Riverdale. We're going to talk about Capone. We're going to talk about The Last Airbender, all of that, plenty more. But first, Cody, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Literally the last thing that I searched was the word obtuse because I was trying to describe a friend, like I have a friend that is sort of obtuse. Like I was trying to describe that person to a friend and I wanted to use like a very flowery descriptor. And the first thing that popped in my head was Andy Dufresne from Shawshank Redemption when he's like, I don't understand how you can be so obtuse. And I was like, that's a good word. I'm going to find a way to work that into my vocabulary. So then I Googled that, and then you dropped it, and I felt like I was a really cool dude. Oh,
yeah, you should. That is a very cool word to use.
What's like one of those words that you'll never forget that sounded so smart that blew your fucking head off, and you're like, I'm going to overuse the shit out of this?
Predicated. I always thought that was like a really cool word. Like, I'm sorry, but this was all predicated on him being a very mean person. Or like, I'm sorry, this decision was predicated on the fact that I was about to run out of gas. Like, I feel like you throw that word in to anything and it makes you feel like you know what you're talking about.
That's one of those things too, where like everyone in the conversation, like you can see them sort of react to someone like just whipping out a word, but no one's going to be like, wow.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow.
You just said used obtuse correctly.
We should probably sit on what this guy's thinking and like ponder it for a little bit. He's what he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, speaking of big, smart-sounding words, we're going to talk about Riverdale later.
yes.
That's how teenagers talk, right? That's
how. All these hot, ripped teenagers.
Hot, ripped teenagers. Exactly.
What is something you think is underrated?
You know what? I've been thinking a lot about this lately is that, shitpost Twitter, like, I love a good garbage meme, and it's particularly now since I've been extremely logged on for the past like 70 days. Like I try to avoid any type of like serious smart take, but like whenever I see like just a bad macro, like I saw one yesterday that really got me. It was a picture of someone photoshopped Michael Caine's face onto a tangerine, and the subtext said, Master Wayne, I turned myself into a tangerine. I'm Tangerine Alfred. And I laughed. I laughed genuinely for like 3 unbroken minutes at that stupid, stupid image. And like now I try to curate my feed to where like I only see stupid stuff like that.
Right.
Yes.
That's nice. Like, do you ever go to that subreddit Me IRL?
No, but like I got to go to it.
Those
now.
Memes are absolutely ridiculous. They're just, they don't make sense. They're so aggressively like nihilistic, but
That's what I want, like that, and coupled with like King of the Hill memes, like whenever they do mashups with those, it's game over for me.
What is what's something you think is overrated?
I gotta say, it's like serious Twitter takes have been a lot for me lately. I think personally, just because, like I said, I am so logged on. There is a tweet that I saw like maybe a couple of months ago that said, "Every day on Twitter, there's a main character, and your job is not to be the main character." Like ever since I saw that, like that truly what it is. Like today looks like it's shaping up to be our boy, our king, Joe Biden. Yesterday it was Lana Del Rey. And before that it was like, I can't even remember. Like, I feel like every day I get on there, there's something new that I have to like do background information for. Like, first of all, I wake up late. I wake up at like 11 o'clock. So like things are already happening on the East Coast. If you're getting dragged, you've been getting dragged for a while. So like I get on and like, I don't see what's actually happening. I see like the B and C level takes that are like, they're like joking and talking about it. It's like, now I have to like go to Google research, like, why are people talking about AOC and bananas? And then like, I have to like deconstruct.
Who is Allison Roman? And do I need to know? Like,
who is this cooking lady? And why do I care that she's arguing with Chrissy Teigen? And now they're both canceled. Like it's too much for my senses. It's too much for me to take.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
I think that's exactly like a great description of how I'm feeling about Twitter lately. I can't do real Twitter anymore. I've like found myself resenting it, and it's not their fault, but like the political people who are like political experts on Twitter and doing like there's not a single serious political tweet that I've seen in the past year that I haven't been like, fuck you, man.
It's like it's just so much energy. Just like everyone has, everyone's 240 characters carry the exact same amount of weight, and you have no idea who the adult in the room is.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
I don't think 5G actually works until I actually get it. I've heard people talk about it. I've heard people talk about, oh, man, these speeds are killing the game right now. I think my phone's actually gotten slower. And some could say, you know, some of those people, those bootlickers could say that maybe it's throttling on the behalf of Verizon. But I have to say, like, I don't believe it until I see it. Like, I would love to have a 30% faster phone so I can search up the word obtuse even quicker. Or I could look up why Alison Roman's cookbook even faster. But until that happens, I don't believe it, baby.
I'm waiting for that day. Yeah. I remember the day I have T-Mobile, and I remember the day LTE arrived in
LA. Oh, my God, yeah.
And I was like,
you can tell me nothing.
It flipped over from 4G. I'm like, what? Huh? Yeah. LTE?
Yeah, catch and, me on Spotify downloading these songs.
I mean, meanwhile, live, I'm always connected to Wi-Fi most of the time, so it really doesn't make a fucking difference. But I feel the same way where like people talk about 5G. I'm like, bro, that's so not real to me because I still see LTE.
Also, how much faster do we need this information? How much faster do things need to get?
We were fine with like, you know, the like the BlackBerry curve was like the most technology we needed. Like that iteration. You had
T-Mobile Sidekick, baby.
Yeah, I had the I had pretty much every iteration of the Sidekick. And before that, Motorola TimePort two-way pagers. I had the Accompli from the fabulous Youngin video. Yeah. The one that had Pimpin', here's a new way to flirt. Now listen to the two-way alert. It goes doot, 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 doot. I had that exact thing, and I used to wear it to the all-ages club.
My mom had a pager because she was she worked in law enforcement, and I felt so important whenever the pager would beep. It would never be for me, obviously. I was like seven. But like whenever the pager would beep off and you would only see like call this number, you're like, oh, you know, the streets need me. I got to go out here and handle this.
I remember in high school, I got a phone that had like AIM on it. And that was a major game changer.
Yeah.
It was like, because I would always get hand-me-down phones from my aunt. And so I would just like get, so it was like my first color phone and you could like message someone at a different school. You're like, this shit rules. But it was so... But it was still T9, and the buttons were so loud that you'd always get caught messages because it's like, coo, 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 coo.
Oh, T9? So what, that was a Sony Ericsson phone?
Something like that. I don't know. And it was always like covered in the film of like my aunt. So
wait,
I don't even know.
Your aunt is a legend, by the way. Yeah. The fact that you're like, your hand-me-down phones always came from your aunt. To me, is she just an early adopter? Like she buys every fucking phone or she breaks so many phones and she's throwing it. Like what's how, nah, what, it was what just is it about
like,
your aunt?
It was just like a lower middle class chain of command of like, you know, it's like you have the whole family like, you know, everyone gets their upgrade at a very specific time. Yep. And so if I have the oldest phone, my phone's going to break first and I'm a kid, so I'm not trusted with a phone that's new. So I'm going to get whatever the most recent, like whoever just got the upgrade, I'll get their old phone.
Boom.
And my place in line was right behind my Auntie Debbie.
Got
it. The whole thing.
No, I know how
the
that works.
Chin.
Yeah.
Well, it's always
like
funny when like
generations back.
I remember you go to like a friend's house and like, yo, your sister has your phone, and you're like, nah, my dad got a new phone, so I got my mom's, and then my sister got mine. Like, oh, okay.
And you have to see, you have to wipe the phone of like your aunt's text. You're like,
or be like, oh, fool, why you got that weird like lanyard on? It's like, it was my mom's, bro. I don't have a case yet.
Trying desperately not to get roasted by your friends.
Yeah.
My aunt would get these. She had these like, remember when you could put like just stickers on the front of your phone or whatever, and she would always have like, it would just be like a tramp stamp in the form of a phone sticker, and you just had to like scrape it off because it was like a gemstone butterfly. You're like, get out of here,
gemstone tribal detail.
Yeah,
you're just like, I can't be associated
all sparkly
with this.
And glittery.
Oh, but that
gemstone butterfly is a good name for something.
Oh, yeah, that's a rad new metal band,
gemstone butterfly.
That's awesome. When your phone needs a tramp stamp too, that's a new level.
It's a statement piece.
Well, that used to be just like the flex because their like cases weren't so easily like interchangeable back then. Like everything was so rigid. You would either archaically attach a bulkier piece of plastic to the outside of your phone to make it look a different color, or you would do what I do, like try and disassemble it and then spray paint it and then put it back together. Always voided the warranty, and guess who would not have a phone. And so, like, yeah, those moss carts that would be like, put decals on your phones were like such a wave back then, because you're like, yo, I could put like Notre Dame High School class of 03 on here. Cool.
I want to pay $4 for this Vantage sticker for the back of my Nokia. It's going to make people think I'm so cool.
Right.
All right, guys, let's get into some breaking news real quick. Joe Biden has apologized.
My king.
In the most heartfelt way possible. He said, I shouldn't have been such a wise guy.
I thought he was going to say hate the player, not the game.
Yeah. Right.
Or hate the game, not the player, whatever the fuck he was in.
It is remarkable. He really cannot be allowed to speak. Like, it's just anytime, everyone's like, where'd he go? No one's heard him speak in 60 days. And the first second he opens his mouth, you're like, oh, that's why we don't let him speak. Yeah, he is not allowed.
They need to put like a little buzzer in the back of his neck whenever he's about to say anything. Or like he starts leering too close to any type of woman. They just hit the button and he gets shocked back and goes like his little Joe coma.
It's ridiculous.
At this point, I'm sure most people know
last week, but yeah.
Yeah, most people know that what Joe Biden said. But let's just a refresher for everybody on the show right now of this interaction with Charlemagne the God, fellow iHeart label mate.
Time, I apologize.
Also,
you can't do that to black media. I can't do that to white media and black media because my wife has to go on at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Oh, I'm in trouble.
Listen, you got to come see us when you come to New York, VP Biden.
I will.
It's a long way until November. We got more questions.
You got more questions, but I tell you, if you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black.
All right.
Hey.
Yes.
All right,
Rachel,
sir.
Gatekeeping from Joe Biden.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Nubian God, Joseph Robinette Biden, for telling us. His face was on the original album cover for Sounds of Blackness, that album from the 90s. I don't know. At first, I laughed because I was like, this is some old school toxic like barbershop shit that black people would say amongst each other. Okay. Yeah. And already acknowledging it as toxic because gatekeeping this kind of shit is already a losing game. But for this man, who's running for president, who relies so much on the support of African Americans in this country, to have no idea about the nuances of like internalized white supremacy, self-hatred, and shit like that, just and act like, I'm one of the fellas, baby. Then you're not black. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And I think
it's not shocking. Like, I think that any marginalized group, particularly black people, know that probably a lot of white people think this. But I feel like we've been in this very sort of bizarro, upside down, netherworld social political landscape for the past 4 years, where like people just say the quiet parts so loud, and then when you juxtapose that with like what the opposition is, where like you have Nazi supporters, neo Nazis, fascists, like the bar, like comparatively, it doesn't seem as bad because we're not in that normal place where like Obama wearing a tan suit would send people over the edge. Now we're at a place where, like, Joe Biden can say that, like, he can question your blackness depending on who you vote for. Doesn't seem as crazy. It doesn't seem as wild because when you look at the other side, you have Trump saying, take these weird grifter snake oil pills. And also, Henry Ford was a pretty cool dude who, because he supported Nazis. It's a very strange political landscape to be in. And, part of me just thinks that, I feel like I'm trapped in a sketch because, like, you're in such a hard position because like Joe Biden is like do you have to vote for like I feel like we have to vote for Joe Biden, and like I feel like we can shit talk along the way, and we have to talk about how much we don't like him and how problematic his like political stances are and like how just bad he is for any type of culture, but I feel like we're still locked into having to support this guy, which makes it choking it down seem so much worse, you know?
Well, it's just another another moment for African Americans who are supporting the Democratic Party to just kind of, bite your tongue and be like, Fuck. I mean, like, I don't know. At least he was like piling it up with Charlemagne when he, like, you know, it's like it's so shitty because the other side of it is so dark, right? Like, you know, as easy as it is to laugh at black Trump supporters and be like, look at me, are they black? I mean, they're voting good. Look, the very real thing is that there is a level of internalized white supremacy and self-hatred that people in that get to a point where they would say, you know what? I'll do everything in my power rather than being a victim of these people. I'll do everything in my power to be one of the quote good ones in their eyes. And that will offer me a level of protection. That will offer me a level of racial animus that I don't usually have to confront when I'm a Democrat or something like that. Yeah. And there's a whole other layer of tortured psychology to this. But again, I think, yes, very on a superficial level. Yeah. What the fuck is this? And most people are like, here he goes. It's fucking, it's Gaff City, the basement with Big Tigga. And, you know, here he goes.
Yeah. It is like a survival tactic that is born out of like some of the saddest stuff. It reminds me of like, so like I'm from the South, North Carolina. And like I definitely had members of my family that were like white passing. And like their whole thing was like, yeah, like I have to pretend I'm white sometimes. One, like just not get beat up by racist or the cops. Also, like I can like make more money if they think that I'm white and like it's messed up. Like I can't bring my family around my job site. Like I can't mention my family or like any stuff like that. But like I do have to buy into like this institutionalized racism and whiteness and white supremacy to like thrive. And like it survive, is like a weird, dark, fucked up headspace to be in. Like I do sort of feel like I do pity these people in like a weird, like fuck up way.
I mean, either way, like you've either the self hatred is so real, the fear is so real. There's something about it where it again. There's just all kinds of tragedy because. But then people are like, well, what about white Trump supporters? Well, white culture is the dominant force in this country, so that's not. This is a subjugated class. This is a history of subjugation, of cultural servitude, and feeling subhuman that every African American to this day has to actually deal with, grapple with. And all we have are reminders in our legal system, in our news and things like that, that reinforce this idea that we may be less than. So couple that with someone who looks at a bunch of frothing people in red hats at a rally and tell me, shit, maybe it's easier for me to put this hat on and they pat me on the back than, you know, stand outside talking all this shit because it's the friction can be so much. It's just anyway. But again, the gaffes will continue into November, and I guess it would be battle of who can fuck up worse. Just a taste of it.
It's gonna be. We're gonna get to like. I can't wait to see what the singularity is of his gaffes.
Yeah,
there was at least a good tweet that was like, "Did Joe Biden learn nothing from the Lana Del Rey gaffe?" it's a piece of shit clip to watch too, because it's like I don't want to be in the. Like in the position of being like, oh, this sucks for Charlemagne the God, because I'm not a fan of his. Like, look no further than his track record on trans issues is most things, but like, it's pretty fucking abysmal. But the fact that like he had to get the interview back on track after that, like, it's just no one should have to deal with that shit. It's just absurd.
And what Biden said is like he's expressing a point of view that is incredibly damaging within the Democratic Party that they can just take black voters like for granted that they don't and that they're not going to have to make actual changes. And it's the fact that he would just say that is wild and shows such a lack of self-awareness and self-examination on the part of Biden and the Democratic Party.
There's just a darker level to it, too, where black people already are, to a certain extent, subjected to a white person's gatekeeping of what is black or what is a threat or what is eloquent or articulate. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, the more you cut it up and dive into it, all there is just bullshit. And it's an awful take from a candidate that, again, we'll have to see who fucks up worse.
Right. All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be back to talk about pop culture.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. Are you guys good to start with Riverdale? Where are we with? Yes. Where are we with? So this was my first time watching any Riverdale. All I had was the headlines in the media about like how wow Archie, but sexy, so edgy. I watched the first episode and part of the second. I was surprised by how much it was like it reminded me of Dawson's Creek and Gossip Girl, and like Gossip it really Girl. Seems like it's in that tradition, which are both shows that I watched when they were on, including Gossip Girl when I was far too old. POC also.
Wait, how old were you when Gossip Girl was popular? Like in college?
I was in my 30s, but it was like something. My wife and I lived in my wife and I lived in Missouri, and we had each other and whatever was on TV. So we watched a lot of Gossip Girl.
Hey, this is a safe space, King.
Yeah, that's no, I like beautiful. That.
Yeah,
no, I watched it because my wife watched.
No, because I know you know a lot about Gossip Girl. Because whenever like there's anything tangentially connected to the show, you're always pretty like knowledgeable on it. So
I talk about how I'm a Blair Waldorf and all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So some thoughts I had just along the way. So it really wears its postmodernism on its sleeve to the point that like I asked the question like 10 minutes in, are they making fun of postmodernism? Like, or are they embracing it? Like at one point, a character walks in and goes, "Oh, thank you, Smithers." And Smithers goes, "Oh, you're welcome, Hermione." And it's just like, yo, what the fuck? Like, those are just such, like, you're just throwing out pop culture references left and right in a way that's, like, so weird. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was good. I thought it was like, you know, heightened writing, which is, I think, always fun. I think more places should do that. I don't know why it is always teen shows. Like, that's a question I have coming out of this is, why do, like, the equivalent of, like, YA TV, like, what? Why are those the shows that get away with, like, writing in heightened English as opposed to, you know, shows for adults? But
I kind of wonder, like, I don't know, like, watching old Riverdale now just, like, makes my determination to end the horny lighting trend all the more strong. It's every teen show in the past 5 years has been lit exclusively by, like, smart light bulbs from Amazon.com that are blue and purple. That's the whole...
They're called Hue by Philips.
Euphoria does the same. Like, every teen show has the horny lighting. Every single one.
It's funny. I was, like, it's my first time, like, watching the show, and I was like, oh, wow, they really, really lit this thing very, like, it's very well shot, which I was not expecting for, like, a CW teen drama.
Yeah.
But literally the only note that I wrote down was, like, why does everyone on Riverdale look like this? They're all, like, supposedly, like, 16-year-old, like, juniors in high school, but they are all, like, Archie is ripped. Like, he's got abs that I haven't even seen before. And, like, they're, like, justifications that, like, he did construction for 2 months, and now he's, like, this ripped, chiseled-jawed 16-year-old who, like, and like, also, like, he's, almost, like,
yo, this guy is 28.
Yeah, this guy's 28. He's
no,
also
he's just
like,
22 now. He was actually young.
Really?
I looked that
he
up.
He looks so
was,
old.
Oh, wow.
He is so, like, good-looking that it felt like a generational flex to have him and then his dad be Luke Perry, because they're like, this is your idea of a hot guy? This dude, like his jawbone is, like, bigger than Luke Perry's head. It's wild.
I also
wait. You
I
think
love...
this guy's good looking, Jack? He kind of looks the, like
Archie.
This
oh,
is KJ.
He's a hot.
So uncanny Valley.
Archie's a babe. He's
I don't
a,
know.
A babe.
There's something know. Weird about. It. He looks like homeboy from Dexter. Like had a lot of de-aging done and started doing like high intensity interval training.
He
like,
does. He months. Does have that look. But look, he. Like, he warned me over. I think he was a babe. I mean, maybe it's because he's also a football player, a construction worker, and a musician.
What
maybe
don't
like,
you do,
three
Archie?
Types of boys.
Yeah, what don't you do,
he's
Archie?
A musician, too?
Yeah, he, like...
Oh, yeah, dude. He,
like, there's, like, one of the subplots for the pilot is that he's also... He like, apparently slept with, like, his music teacher, which, like, no one was like, hey, this is, like, weird that you're... That this whole situation is weird, but yeah. So he sleeps with like his music teacher, and then there's this whole subplot where like he's working on like a demo, and like he's trying to get notes from her to like make it better.
Yeah, everyone who hears it is like, "Whoa, that's you! That's fucking amazing, dude!
I can't believe you did just... this."
yeah. So
like Jan's assistant Hunter in the office. Like just giving him to me. He's like, oh, I love
so,
the music so much.
Yeah, the subplot is first of all, they introduce the teacher who, you know, does statutory rape on him. They introduce her by having her drive by with Lolita glasses on. Like they're like, haha, get it?
Like it's those
a clever,
winged red frames?
The heart frames.
Oh, heart, yeah, oh heart right, ones. Right. Red heart glasses. Right.
And she's like sipping on a drink in a way that I think the Lolita like movie cover like has it looks it's like a direct reference to that
right.
And they're like get it but this time she's the rapist that's fun but then like there's this whole like it's smartly written in that the words they say are clearly written by somebody who you know has an English degree but that it's also like dumb in just the things that happen like they witnessed a crime while they were doing statutory rape and then they're like well we can't tell anybody we were there and it's like why doesn't just one of you say you were there but they're like no everybody'll know and it's just very very dumb
is that the teacher I feel like that's the one episode I've seen where her punishment is they tell her to leave town
yeah that happens I think in a future episode in this one it's She's just hot
banished from the town.
Right. Like they're like, leopard. Oh my God, you're a sexual predator. Please go.
Yeah.
Yes. I read ahead and they find out that she has like stolen somebody's identity. And Like, oh, so she is somebody who has, like, skipped from town to town. She says it's because she's trying to escape an abusive relationship, but that's very textbook, like, sexual predator. Mm. Like, just leaving, like, adopting different personalities, like, going from town to town. And they're just like, you get out of here, you scamp.
How far has people watched this show? Like, has anyone else seen more than this particular episode?
I've seen the first season. But it was a while ago. I watched it when it was coming out.
I've seen assorted episodes, and the only one I can remember is that they solved a sexual predator who is a statutory rapist, and they just said leave town. And that's like, that's all I know about Riverdale.
So this show, like, there were a couple of writers in the last room I was in that were really big fans of this show, and they would just talk about it without out of context in the room sometimes. But apparently there's a point where there's like an underground fighting ring that Archie has to go to like prison for, and like he sneaks into prison, or like he makes himself go to prison, and then he becomes like the number one fighter in this underground fighting ring. And then later on in that season, he fights a bear and wins.
What?
Yes. Look, if I'm lying, I'm fine. Right now, I'm on the ground, folks. Listeners, if anyone has seen this season, please let me know. Wait,
what?
That rules, man. Yeah, I mean, they kind of set you up for that with this first episode where he just does everything. I wouldn't, like, it. Had he gotten into a fist fight with a bear in this episode, I would have expected him to win. Just based
just
on
explodes
what we know
the
of him.
Bear's skull with like a red hook.
The first article that popped up when you look up Archie Bear episode is Riverdale fans baffled after Archie comes back to life after bear attack and manages to sit high school exams just days later.
It's the greatest show on television.
Is it at least fun to watch in its absurdity, or was it completely just like soul sucking to watch?
Let me just read you some of the lines to answer that question.
Okay.
So Betty is this like type A aspiring like overachiever. She's just come back from her literary internship in New York where she got to hang out with Toni Morrison, and Toni Morrison says to her,
what?
This line happens. She goes, Toni Morrison says one summer can change everything.
Classic.
Like
Toni
a fucking
Morrison.
High school yearbook inscription. Yeah. Toni Morrison, our greatest writer, is like, you know, one summer can change everything, and don't ever change. You're the best. Stay cool.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that whole interaction.
So someone calls him Justin Gingerlake because he wants to sing.
Okay, hilarious.
Yeah,
that is great.
Yeah.
You should be, so this is the line, you should be the queen bee of this drab hive.
That like screams like 40-year-old being like, okay, teenagers. Yeah,
that's the only line I actually wrote yikes next to.
I also forgot that Josie and the Pussycats was in this show as well. Like,
right.
Which is something that like, because I've never read the Archie comics, but I just remember those like, old like 60s, 70s like cartoons and stuff, and like I'm watching this, I'm like, are they gonna do a spinoff of Josie and the Pussycats? Are they building their own like little MCU of like Archie universe?
It feels like it. It really feels like it.
What wouldn't I give?
Jam is up to date. Jam's one of our writers, and he he's fully up to date. He did a little research. Apparently, when they were first discussing this, the person who wrote this and became I think CEO of Archie Comics or whatever the company is that like owns that IP.
Yeah.
Was like wrote a play, like started his career by writing a play in which Archie comes out as gay, and he got sued by Archie Comics and then ended up writing this show and becoming CEO of Archie Comics. but he said when he first pitched the show to Universal, the executives were like, wait, but Archie takes place in the 50s. And he was like, yeah, well, this is like kind of postmodern. And he's like, they're like, well, would it? So he goes through a portal to another dimension? And they're like, no.
That sounds about right from executives.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. We've all had those conversations.
Because their explanation, portals are huge right now.
No!
There was they suggested casting Louis C.K. as an older Archie.
No,
no.
So just great All around, no. All around, wow. Great.
First suggestions
oh
only.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But anyways, five stars. Great, great movie.
Yeah, I think I'm actually going to go back and watch the second episode because they did leave on a pretty good cliffhanger.
I mean,
I want to see the bear episode.
It feels like so absurd that, like, you know, like it's like with Scandal. Like at one point, it just went off the rails, and you're like, I don't know, I'm here for it, I guess, and then I'll put it to bed. But like
these writers are having a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's like, it's like every time they're in a problem, they always solve it with a Deus Ex Machina moment. But whatever. All right, fine.
I should say that, by the way, it's always a bear in this. Like a bear comes in. Like, who shot JR? Oh, who's the bear?
With the gun? That damn bear again.
No, but this is this is in the top 10 because they apparently just released the fourth season on Netflix.
Ooh.
And okay. The big news around season 4 is Skeet Ulrich is leaving the show. He plays Jughead's dad, and he announced
he's dating a 24-year-old.
Yeah, so that's the thing. Oh. He announced that he's leaving in an IG Live video with his girlfriend, who is the same age as the kid who plays the son. So shout out to him.
Yo, Skeet.
Famously, real name, Brian Ray Trout.
I mean, that
sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Trout.
That is the
sorry
behavior.
To put you on blast.
It is Brian. Shocking that like Skeet Ulrich isn't like a morning zoo host. I feel like that's the only appropriate job for someone named Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah, right. Skeet and the bear. Skeet and the bear.
Skeet and the bear.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's like a shotgun getting pumped. Yeah. Skeet and the bear. Pull. All right.
All right. Oh, actually, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with Capone and Last Airbender.
Hell yeah.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And let's bring in super producer Anna Hosnier, because she is the person who turned us on to the Capone, the new Capone movie with Tom Hardy. And that Miles and Anna are both going to tell us about Capone. What did you guys learn?
Real quick, can I say, I had no idea that Riverdale was based off the Archie comics. and truly,
what?
I've been around.
His name's Archie.
I know. And just wait. I have Jughead. Been around people watching it, and they say the characters' names. And every time I'm like, isn't that, aren't those the same? That's so funny. They use the same. I'm not even joking. I literally just thought it was a coincidence that they all had the same names.
Oh, because like it was impossible that this show had anything to do with the Archie comics.
I just legitimately never thought about it that much. Like, I just was always like, that's so funny. Jughead, isn't that from that one comic?
Look, it
and
makes
then I
sense.
Just wouldn't think further.
I'm completely with you. Because like, if you just look at it from face value, where you see like, this ginger fist fighting a bear, you're like, there's no way this is about the comic right. about getting like egg creams and eating hamburgers
right.
at your
I
diner.
I legit just thought it was just a standalone like weird teen drama. Like nothing in my mind connected any of those dots.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, when I learned it, I got upset because I was like, that doesn't add anything to this show at all. Like this could be just Riverdale.
Everyone who has red hair in this is like a person who's never seen a redheaded person's ideal of what a redheaded person would be like. Yeah. It's like such fake red hair. It's so weird. But literally like half of the cast has the same red hair.
It's jarring to look at. Yeah.
Yeah. But Capone, I talked recently about how my theory that people are going to be obsessed with like those 30s criminals, and maybe we'll get our own Robin Hoods because we're heading into our own depression.
I don't know. This whole thing started off with Anna laughing, being like, I don't know if you guys seen Capone. I saw it. She's like, I don't know what to think, but she was laughing. So she seemed like it was entertaining enough to watch. Jack, you said that you read a tweet that said they didn't know if Tom Hardy was trying to either win an Oscar or a Razzie or do both simultaneously.
Yeah.
I feel like that is probably the most accurate mm-hmm. tweet.
Oh wow!
Of what this film is, it like vacillates between like moments where I'm like, wow, this is interesting. To points I'm like, can we turn this fucking bullshit off? Man,
that's
fucking
exactly
stupid.
Right. Yeah,
fucking stupid, dumb. Yo. But yeah, I mean, Anna, the voice.
The voices are honestly, I'm a bit of a Tom Hardy accent head. I love a Tom Hardy accent. I watch his movies because I love his accent work.
You want to see what weird choice he's going to make with his voices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. Like any, you know, Revenant, Locke, Lawless, all these goddamn films where you're like, what is he bringing to the table? But it's fascinating to see this actor where it's enjoyable because you know Tom Hardy's having a good time doing this role. And no one is saying cut. They're like, put Tom Hardy to run around this Miami mansion and we will just film him like doing Tom Hardy at the fullest in a, I don't know a lot about Al Capone. I don't know if he's out like this at the end. Like, I don't know what was going on.
What?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
It sounds like the grandma in SpongeBob.
Yeah. But like, add like a Brooklyn accent that's fading. It's absurd.
Yeah. So first of all, the other interesting thing is it's one of those films too where he plays, look, so Al Capone, like, you know, had syphilis from mm-hmm. the time he was like in his teens, basically, and like until death, basically. So this is the last year of his life.
Oh, wow. So he's out there.
Dude, he's just an absolute mess.
Yes.
He can barely see. He's senile. He's having strokes. He's literally shitting the bed in ways I've never seen in film before.
Like blasting ass.
New and inventive ways of shitting the bed.
Yeah.
Do you see it?
Yes.
Yes?
Oh, no.
Yes. He drops Duke on camera?
Bro, it's not even dropping. It looks like it's when like, they're putting fucking stucco on the side of a building.
Oh, wow. I got to rent this. I'm renting this bad boy.
And like, I got to rent.
And May, who Linda Cardellini, who plays May, his wife, is like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Hey, I'm shitting here.
This poor woman is being like, oh no, Al. Yeah. They don't call him Al. You're not allowed to call him Al. They all call him Fonz. And she goes, Fonz, you you shit the bed. Come on.
What I do, Mom.
And he's like,
but there's these scenes where, like, you know, I've my grandmother had dementia, and if you've seen people sort of lose themselves in those kinds of, with those sorts of afflictions, he does that really well. There are moments where, like, he looks vacant in his eyes. He can't put a sentence together. You don't know if he's actually hearing what people are telling him. Mm-hmm. And those are the moments I go, damn, this is, like, really well acted.
Exactly.
Then they'll do a scene where Neil Brennan plays his lawyer. I'm like, this motherfucker does not need to be in this movie. Mm-hmm. He looks like the fucking teacher in South Park. With the fucking, he got, because his chin turns into like a, it's jarring to see Neil Brennan in this as
Neil Brennan. Yeah. Neil Brennan does take you out of the film for a second. You're like, Neil Brennan.
It's like, that reminds me of when Bob Odenkirk showed up in Little Women, and you're like, what?
Yeah.
Hello, my little women.
It isn't my little women. You're like, get out of here.
I'm like, hook him up with a better wig rather than plugs.
Yeah, there are certain people who can't. This was William Goldman's observation about why his movie, The Ghost in the Darkness, tanked to the box office. He was like, Michael Douglas can't play anybody except the present tense. And I feel like Neil Brennan and Bob Odenkirk are the same. I'm just like, why? Yeah. No, yeah. They're just somebody from now who's pretending to be from a long time ago.
That scene is punctuated by a shit joke.
Nice. A lot of shit through lines.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's like in the middle of a contentious interview. But here's the thing. I do want to shout out all the other actors. This is what's weird. The writing, the way that like they're telling the story, the ending. And I know you said you're like, wait till the ending. I don't know what the fuck was going on with that ending. My sort of view on it is like, it's a great airplane movie. Like, but now I feel that. Overall, I feel like our entire existence is like an airplane where we're just sort of, we're like, yeah, dude, I got nothing but time. Like, I'll fucking watch Capone.
Yeah.
And as I was watching it, I think normally I'd be like, what a fucking waste of time. Mm. Rather than like, I don't have, okay, sure. Oh, interesting. That was stupid. Matt Dillon looks good for his age still.
This was directed by Josh Trank, right?
Josh, that was the director. Josh Trank.
Josh Trank.
It was in Director Drill, deservedly. And this was like how he got out, was doing the Capone movie, right? Like this was like his big follow-up to Fantastic Four. Yeah.
It bears a lot of resemblance to that shitty Renee Zellweger movie that she just got an Oscar for too, of like playing a tragic figure in the last year of their life in an attempt to win an Oscar. But what makes me just nervous about even hearing what happens in this movie is just knowing that Tom Hardy famously does method. So this had to have been a fucking nightmare for everybody.
Everywhere. Yeah. His trailer was just spackled.
Dropping deuces everywhere.
My favorite example of just, I mean, I don't know. I don't feel one way or another about Tom Hardy, but like he went into, there were all these stories about how method he was on the set of Mad Max, even though it's like, it didn't seem necessary for that character. And Charlize Theron did like a very sweet interview where she was like, yeah, that's what he does. Personally, I just show up and work. Like, method acting is so annoying. Love.
That's why it's called acting.
All right, so would you recommend like actually spending, like, should I watch this movie?
If you like Tom Hardy and you enjoy watching an absurd Tom Hardy performance, like I love an absurd Tom Hardy performance. Yes, watch the movie. You will be like blown away how hard he commits. Because there are points where I forget I'm watching. Like, he commits so hard where, like Miles was saying, where I'm like, this guy actually is like I think he has lost it. It feels real in moments where you're like, this is so depressing. Like, I feel horrible for this guy. And then there's other moments where you're like, wow, Tom Hardy really took it there. But if you're a person who likes that, I paid $10 to rent this movie. I don't know if you want to do that. You know, like that's up to you.
I'm not going
to
do that.
I'm not going to advocate anyone spend money to see this. But if you have some, just if you got $10 you want to throw away, and I mean that pretty literally, like this is going into the trash. Why not? I mean, it's like
support
again,
Trank's career, though.
Support Josh Trank's career.
Or just, Hashtag like support. It was kind of cool to see Matt Dillon again. Yeah. He kind of looks like,
oh, that's nice.
He's looking fine. And Linda Cardellini has a great performance. Yeah. Also, Charmaine Bucco is in it. Her real name, Catherine Narducci.
Mm. The quote about Oscar and Razzie at the same time is from Scott Mendelson, the writer at Forbes. And he also mentioned, he also wrote in the article where he was talking about this movie that Josh Trank has a, so Josh Trank is the guy who did Chronicle, the like found footage superhero movie. Mm-hmm. And then he did the Fantastic Four, which is like one of the great fan four stick. Yeah, the fan four stick
somehow
four.
In the title. Yeah.
They, and he was like, yeah, I'd watch Josh Trank's 4-hour Fantastic Four cut. Apparently, he's like got this like artistic, this like director's cut out there of the Fantastic Four that like nobody wants to see.
Can I say that the movie does have an actually a very funny critique of law enforcement being like kind of trash because they really truly believe Al Capone is faking all this. And it's real absurd. They like are interviewing, being like, "Where'd you hide the money?" And he's like,
"And he's shitting himself."
And they're like, "He's faking it.
I know he's method."
Yeah. And they're like putting money towards this. And you're like, "Okay, you guys are wasting money. This fool is shitting himself. He's literally delusional. He can't see. Like, he's seeing things. He's having strokes. He's talking to himself. He's watching Wizard of the Oz and pretending to be the lion. Like,
oh,
he's
wow.
not here, and you guys are spending all this money being like, he buried $10 million somewhere, and you're like, oh, wow, the FBI, man.
Where's it at, you syphilitic fuck? It's like, whoa, let him live. I mean, not let him live. I mean, he was a gangster, but like, it was funny. The one time his mind did come together was to sing the Wizard of Oz song.
Yeah.
That was the one time he was the most coherent. Anyway, you know what, I see my time.
Judy Extended Universe.
Yeah.
I see my time to Avatar the Airbender.
Please.
Now.
Yeah. Okay. So, guys, tell us. This is one that I don't know anything about.
Oh, boy.
Well, Zig, have you seen this whole show? This was my first foray into it.
Yeah, I watched it when it was first airing, like 10 or 15 years ago, however long ago it was. Like when I was still in like high school or maybe even like college when it was like coming on. Like I really enjoyed it, but I haven't thought about it since then. So like rewatching it and being like, oh, this show is like one, it's just like beautifully animated, but also like the world building that they were able to do in one 22-minute episode was so like inspiring when you're like, there are shows that will go 6, 7, 8 seasons that are like fantasy world or sci-fi that like don't even begin to touch like the depth that they were able to do in, you know, 22 minutes. You know, I was a big fan of this, of watching this.
Oh, I loved it so much that like you were saying, I watched like 3 episodes and then I watched another episode from the middle of season 2 that people were like, you won't understand the show unless you watch season 2 episode 7. And and they were right. It was a moving episode. But I feel like it's so rare in like kid shows and then even more specifically like animated kid shows for like it so often just becomes like a really condescending experience.
Yeah.
And this show is like so complex and it's beautiful and it's like they in like the first episode they talk about like losing a parent and like just all these really complex heavy stuff like war and like the episode that was recommended to me in the middle of season 2 was like a backstory for like main antagonist that was had like a backstory that involves like a severe genocide and you're like, this was for children
and this is for people who, what's airbending exactly?
It's mad, it's magic.
It's basically like, yeah, so the way like this is stuff that they sort of dive deeper into as the show goes along, but basically there are people who are born with like special powers that they can like they can manipulate, like, you know, earth, water, fire, or the air or wind.
Wind,
basically.
Water, heart.
Yeah, basically, like all the elements. And like as you go along, you sort of realize that they're like different tribes across the world, and they've sort of like based these things off of like their equivalent of spirit animals. Like they're like every tribe has like, you know, like a totem animal, and like for the airbenders, it's like these bison that can like fly. For like earthbenders, they're like badgers. Like they get deep into it, but like one of the things that like I really noticed while watching it was like just how diverse people looked, like just skin color wise. Like there's like light skinned people, there's like dark skinned people, and everyone is like demonstrably like Asian. Like oh, these are like, you can say that these are Asian influenced characters, and it's not just like light skinned like Eastern Asians. They have like dark skinned, like Southeast Asians. They have like Inuit representation. Like there's so much that they're able to pack in this show in like 22 minutes that like definitely flew over my head when I first watched it. And I definitely wouldn't have appreciated as much, but like, I think that I'm definitely going to like binge watch the show over the next like 2 weeks and like get back into it.
I'm really excited to like really dive into it. I did a little bit of research because I'm like, who made this show? Because it's like, it's so, I feel like it had to have been incredibly difficult to like sell Nickelodeon on a really complex, like rich show like this, because there was like nothing else. I think part of the reason I didn't watch it was as maybe a little too old for it when it came out. And also I went to Nickelodeon for like SpongeBob, and this is the opposite of SpongeBob. And it's still like, it's Nickelodeon in the 2000s. It's like two white guys that made it. The whole voice cast is, from what I could tell, most of the voice cast is white too. And I can't find much criticism of it in that way. Which is, I don't really know where to fall on it, because it seems like they did their homework and they tried to like build out a world that is like respectful and not, you know, the ugly side of appropriation. But there's, I don't know, I want to learn more about the production of this show too, because I'm like, how did they pull this off and no one was like, hey, wait a second?
I think one of the big things was that this was like 15 years ago, so like people weren't even like cognizant of that. Like they did a follow-up series called The Legend of Korra, which I think was a little bit better with like casting like non-white people, but still, like, I think the main character was like a white
Mae
lady.
Whitman.
Yeah.
It's literally Mae Whitman is the main female character.
Jamie, you sound like so like you've seen a vision like after this, you know, like I'm like, all right, Jamie's gonna have some kind of take, like even if she likes it, it'll be enthused. But even the way you're like expressing your love for it is like in awe, which is really is all I need to actually start watching, because you're like,
it's a great series. Like,
it's good.
It gets everything. Like you have like the emotional stuff. Like also, like I'm older now, so like there are things that I appreciate more, especially when it comes to like how family is represented and like how, like, you know, like people, like the characters, like actually like each other. Like brothers and sisters fight. Like there's a brother and sister on the show that sort of fight the way that brothers and sisters do. Like you still love them, but like, you're also like, I've been around you every day for like 13 years. Like, you really get on my nerves. Like, all that stuff is great. And then, like, all the choreography, like, all the animation nerd stuff in me is really impressed by, like the way that they're able to animate these really complex martial arts move still to this day, like, blow me away.
Oh, so, okay. So, for the caveman in me, the martial arts scenes are also litty or what?
Oh, yeah. The martial arts scenes are wild. Like,
the fights are incredible. Yeah.
You only see a little bit in this one. You see a little bit of training, but like, so there's like the fire tribe, the earth tribe, the like wind tribe, and like the water tribe. And all of them are based off four very specific different types of martial arts. So, like, it's cool seeing each of those styles represented in different ways, and also seeing how fluid those animators were able to like capture those things were like really cool. Like, definitely the caveman, and you're like, oh, this will rock. Like, your caveman, your lizard brain will be very stimulated by watching this show.
Dope.
It's really beautiful. Yeah, I think what really hit for me is, like, I don't know. Like, yeah, I work mostly in animation, and so it's like you're constantly asked to kind of dumb stuff down or make stuff, like,
as broad as possible.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And just the fact that it was, like, not just an animated show, but an animated show for kids that was able to just really go for the themes that they wanted to is, like, so impressive and cool.
Korra and the other one is played by Janet Varney, not Mae Whitman. I was very confused.
I know Janet Varney. No, Mae Whitman plays Katara.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Wait, is Mae Whitman not the... the CEO of Quibi?
She got out of the agribusiness.
Mae Whitman, the Arrested Development.
Yeah.
It's a May and
her.
Got it.
And one of the evil exes from Scott Pilgrim.
But that's
I was
a
like,
beautiful.
Damn, she is multi-talented.
Wow. Hi, Meg Whitman visibility. Hi, Quibi CEO visibility.
Get some quick bites in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I loved it. I can't wait to keep watching it.
Yeah, you should definitely check out the sequel, Legend of Korra. I think you really dig that as well.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, Zig, it's been a pleasure having you, man. Where can people find you, follow you, experience you?
You know, if you want to experience me, you know, check me out on Twitter and Instagram at Yay for Zig. Check out my website, That Dude Zig, if you just want to keep up with me. My last room is out, so if like any showrunners want to hire a new funny writer, hit me up because my manager wants that 10% and I need that money too. So catch me there.
And Birdie, baby.
Yeah, baby.
Is back.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, it's from a homie and I think a friend of most people on this show, Birdie Reed.
He's
like, I just got my first life insurance deposit from my grandmother who died back in January. I feel deeply somber and guilty, but it cheers me up knowing that she'd want me to have a gaming PC with overclockable processors and a GeForce RTX 2080 Ti graphics card. And I saw that and I laughed very hard because I know Brody's been going through a hard time, but also that's the most quintessential peak Brody comedy tweet. And when I saw that, I knew that my boy was back in the game. So like it had hit multiple levels for me.
Yeah, his pain turned to flex tweets have been to follow along.
And just like walking around his enormous house now.
A powerful arc, yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. I'm going to shout out an Emily Yoshida tweet that made me laugh because it's so dumb. It just says, more like buy droxychloroquine. That's the whole tweet. Got me good. I love it. And that's at Emily Yoshida, who's also on the Bechdelcast this week. So there you go.
Hell yeah. And also the co-host of Night Call, which is a great show everybody should be listening to. Miles, where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. You know, find the Zeitgang Posse on Red Dead. I just got GTA 5, so I'm probably going to crew up over there.
Oh, hit me up, King.
Man, bro, every time Zeitgang, wow, you guys are impressive gamers, to say the least. So when I send up the flare and you guys assemble, I feel fucking very powerful. So thank you to y'all. A tweet that I like is from Ian Carmel at Ian Carmel. Says, politically, I would describe myself as, quote, very liberal, but also at one point I really liked the movie Boondock Saints. So like...
Oh, man. I never liked that movie. I just want to plant
I've never
my
seen
flag
it.
In the sand.
It doesn't hold up if you're over 16.
Yeah, I know. That's the one thing I know. Like, I remember I was watching Belly and, like, King of New York, and, like, white kids were like, have you seen Boondock Saints? I'm like, I don't know. It's okay.
I've just seen the poster.
Yeah, right.
Some tweets I've been enjoying. Dennis Hogan tweeted, I, your woke boss, have discovered that adding X's to words make them more inclusive. So it turns out we are going to be doing some layoffs.
Oh my god.
And then Phil Jameson tweeted, hacker voice as I get into bed. I'm in.
Find
me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what is that going to be today?
This is a track from Dutch R&B soul singer Nicole Buss, who I've not known about until very recently.
Name.
Yeah, solid name.
She's got a great voice, and like all her album's really good. Like, she's got this very like grounded approach to R&B that is like modern. She has swag. She is also kind of a beat maker. So she, it's very cool. Very cool work from her. But this track is called You, and it's very, I like it because, hey, like any man in their mid-30s, I love a good Wu-Tang sample.
Oh, yes.
And this is taking a sample of, obviously, the Charmelles, As Long As I've Got You, which is the sample from Cream. But so basically you're hearing like this great track over the Cream beat, but it's done a little bit differently. So check out Nicole Buss to start your week off, because sadly, cash does rule everything around us.
Yeah. Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.